Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Asana unatangui. Sat salani un just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely home to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be.
On behalf of the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church, we'd like to welcome each one of you to this very special memorial service on behalf of Vicente Napudi Leon Guerrero. And as a church family, we would like to extend our condolences to the Guerrero, to the Leon Guerrero family. And just let them know that this is just a little goodbye. Jesus is coming soon. And his words to us were, do not let your heart be troubled, but believe in God, believe also in me. I want to invite the congregation to stand as we have our invocation, and we will remain standing to sing our hymn right after that. Dear Heavenly Father, on this day, we are here to celebrate the life of Vicente Napudi Leon Guerrero. We ask that your Holy Spirit may be present. May it bring comfort and strength to each one of the family members. And Father God, we ask that the hope, the blessed hope, that you're coming soon will be in each one of our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I I invite you to open your hymnal to hymn number 12. I believe this was a favorite hymn, and some of the hymns books are right below the first. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. We're going to sing all three stanzas.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away.
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my sin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Oh, that was, thank you.
Good afternoon. Vicente Napati Leon Guerra was born on January 11, 1932, in the southern village of Inarahan on the island of Guam. His parents were Vicente Santos and Carlota Tarque Leon Guerra. Vicente had two siblings, Angustia Tai and Tomas. As a youngster, Ben, as he was called, would help his father in the rice fields or in the garden. Hard work was instilled in his life at an early age. During World War II, Ben learned to speak Japanese as he attended Japanese schools. After Guam was liberated, he and his family, who were Baptists, became the first Seventh-day Adventist in the southern part of the island. Ben then attended the Seventh-day Adventist school where he met his future wife, Cecilia Taitano Flores. Ben used to deliver messages between Cecilia and her boyfriend, but in the end, Ben and Cecilia were married in 1952. Their union produced five children, Leroy, Frederick, Charlotte, Jacqueline, and Vanessa. Ben was in the U.S. Army and spent time in Virginia and Washington State. He was a hospital corpsman while in the Navy. One story he would tell about his military days was about the first time he tried beets and cottage cheese. He had taken a bit of both on his tray, but after trying it, he decided he didn't really like them. He was ready to throw them away when he observed the drill sergeant telling other men to return to the tables to finish their food. The old saying, "Take what you can eat and eat what you take," came to mind. He placed the beets in one pant pocket and the cottage cheese in the other. Right after that, his unit went on a run, and during that time, he could feel the cottage cheese running through his pant pocket and the beets discoloring his clothing. Since he had not finished his meal, he was hungry. So he grabbed cottage cheese out of one pocket and the beets out of the other. And since that day, he has loved beets and cottage cheese. When Ben was discharged, he returned to Guam and his wife. He got a job with the U.S. Navy PWC Transportation and worked there for 40 plus years. The dispatchers would call him on his off-duty days to have him solve problems. Ben had memorized all the VIN numbers of all the several hundred vehicles and where each vehicle was and who had checked it out. Admirals from the Pacific Fleet would look for Ben Guerrero whenever they were headed to Guam. Because of his diligence and hard work, he was well respected. Ben was a very caring and loving man. He was a devoted husband and loved his wife, whom he aimed to please and give her everything he could possibly. Cecilia, or who most of us fondly refer to as Chilung, loved to travel, so he took her traveling. They enjoyed gardening together. She had the green thumb. He would weed and water the plants. He loved his children and did all he could to provide the very best for them, including providing for their Seventh-day Adventist Christian education, even when times were hard. He believed in Christian education and made sacrifices. He loved his grandchildren and great-grandchildren and would bring home little treats for them whenever he left the house for an appointment or to shop. They were always on his heart and mind and did all he could to make sure their needs were met. Where he may have felt he failed in raising his own kids, he did all to make up with his grandkids, always encouraging and believing they could do anything. Ben was a generous man. He would help anyone who was in need. Once he had been in an accident where someone had hit his vehicle. When he went to find the individual, he saw how poorly they lived with their children. Instead of asking or getting any money from them, he and Chilling went out and bought food for them. He was a kind and hospitable man. Years ago, when Charlotte was leaving the island for a week trip, Ben met a young man at the airport who was asking how far to the Navy base. He replied, "Too far to walk." When asked about a taxi, he said, "Too expensive to hire." Ben offered this young man a ride to the base to find lodging, but there was none available. Then he called his wife to tell her to fix breakfast and that he was bringing home a young man. This young man ended up staying the week in Charlotte's room and became like one of the family. He would fondly call Chilling and Ben mom and dad. Ben believed that a man should always keep his words, and he was a man of integrity. Ben was a deacon and elder for the Talofofo Seventh-day Adventist Church. When he was a deacon, he would arrive half an hour early so that he could open up the church doors if no one was there. If no one was there, by the time Sabbath school song service was to start, he would begin singing by himself. He looked forward to the time when it was his family's week to clean the church. He would bring his children there to make sure it was in order for the Sabbath. To him, that opportunity was an honor for him, not a chore. He loved chamorro music and old-time church songs. He would love to sing the hymns from the old church hymnal or the Singing Youth songbook. He knew the words to most of the songs by heart. One evening before Christmas of 2010, he and the family stayed up singing page by page from the Singing Youth and remembering events and people from back home. He loved and was committed to God and loved to read the Bible and got down when he could no longer see the page due to his cataracts and his vertigo. He was so determined to find a Bible with large enough print so he could read himself. And as a result, you will find several large print Bibles at home, thinking he had found yet a larger print Bible. There's a poem entitled The Dash, and the first part goes like this. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time she spent alive on this earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line was worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we spend our dash. Ben will be remembered for many things, such as his smile and his dimples. But more than that will be the memories of how he would make you feel and how your heart is warmed by this loving and caring man. He will be dearly missed until we meet again in heaven.
Charlotte asked me to sing her father's favorite song, but I didn't know if I could do it, so it was at the Fill My Cup, Lord. I'm going to sing a Chamorro song, and basically it says, "My Lord, my chief, your children would like to ask if it is okay if you would come and be with them," and I think it's an appropriate song.
The scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 26. "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In this life only we hope. We have hope in Christ. We are all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me okay? All right. My name is Chris, and I guess you could say I'm a relative of the family. And last Sunday, Auntie Shar asked me if I would be able to give a short homily today, if need be. And I said, absolutely. So thank you. It's an honor to be able to do this. We've gathered together today to fellowship, to remember and reflect and celebrate the life of Uncle Ben. And I've known him my whole life, and Uncle Ben to me has always been a very caring, caring man. He cared about his family. He was a faithful man. As we heard in the life sketch, he was a deacon. He was an elder who did his job faithfully, making sure everything was taken care of. He loved his grandkids, his grandchildren. He loved his wife, his kids. He was a man of service, as you can tell. I mean, he joined the military, served faithfully. And so today, I just want to spend a few moments and to go over a story that I think many of you maybe can perhaps relate. And in the book of John, chapter 11, there's a story of a man named Lazarus, and I'm sure many of you have probably heard this story before, where Lazarus becomes sick. He was from Bethany, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus progressively got worse until finally he died. Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus, "The Lord, the one you love, is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus, he loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus. He was a very dear friend. And yet, even though he knew he was sick, he still stayed where he was for two more days. And then after that, he said, "Let's go back to Judea." And in Judea, there was a lot of angry people upset at Jesus. And the disciples thought, if we go back there, we're going to die. And Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." To which the disciples said, "Well, Lord, if he's just sleeping, he'll get better." But to them, they did not understand that Lazarus had died. And Jesus continues, "And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." And so Thomas eloquently put it, "Let's go also, so that we may die with them." As they went up to Bethany, Jesus found Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. And when he came closer, Martha, sister of Lazarus, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she asked, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at that last day." And Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection." Jesus has seven I ams in the book of John, and this is one of them. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." And after this, she went and she got her sister Mary. And she said, "The Master, the Jesus, he wants to see you. And as soon as she hears this, she gets up and she rushes to see Jesus. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, come and see, Lord. And Jesus cried. But it wasn't tears because Lazarus was dead and that he would never see him, but it was tears because the people did not understand that he, Jesus, was the resurrection. He had the power to give life, to restore, and they didn't get it. And the Jews, they see, and they say, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could he not have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? But Jesus had a point to prove. And so he says, take away the stone. And Martha says, but Lord, he's already been there 4 days. It's going to be really smelly. Are you sure you want to do that? He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you have always that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face, and Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus resurrected Lazarus. He has the power to restore life. Now, I'm not saying that Uncle Ben's going to be resurrected magically, but we know that one day God will restore and reconcile and make things all new. Amen? And I know that sometimes when we see a family member, a dear friend, fall asleep, pass away, there's a sense of sadness, perhaps maybe in a sense of anger. Sometimes we don't know why, but we know we have hope, we have joy, that one day that this is not the end, and that ultimately we will be reunited. In 1 Corinthians 15, we'll start at verse 50, okay? I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The Greek word for victory is nike or nikos in this sentence. And nikos, the root word being nike, many of you perhaps maybe wear the brand Nike, where it comes, Nike meaning victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus has conquered death. Because after he died, 3 days later, he rose. Jesus has power to give life. He is the resurrection. And so now Paul asks, where, O death, is your victory? And where, O death, is your sting? This morning as I was preaching, it was my first sermon back at my new church. I've been there maybe 6 weeks, and today was the first time I actually spoke. And not 1 minute after I said this, where, O death, is your sting? Literally, a wasp came coming down and trying to sting my head because it apparently liked the gel on my head. And so it was kind of a interesting way. I don't know why that wasp was around, but it was kind of, I don't know if it was coincidental or not, but reminding, where, O death, is your sting? even though sometimes it hurts, even though we know we can't actually be able to physically talk to Uncle Ben or to see or anything, we know this is not the end. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. We have hope in the one who gives life, the one who resurrected 3 days later. And one day he will come, he will make all things new, he will restore. Jeremy Camp, on reflecting, he wrote a song, and it's called There Will Be a Day. It says, I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that never seem to end, his word declares his truth that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, because we're alluding to Revelation 21. No more pain and no more fear. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more, and we will see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. But there has never been a step where you've walked out all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart. 'Cause joy and peace he brings. And the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I can't wait until that day where the very one I've lived for always will wipe away the sorrow that I've faced, to touch the scars that rescued me from a life of shame and misery. Oh, this is why I sing. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more, and we will see Jesus face to face. May you take comfort and believe in the one who is the resurrection, who will restore, renew, and resurrect. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the life of Uncle Ben. And though we know miss him dearly, we know that this is not the end. I pray that you will be with his family and his friends who are grieving at this point. But we look forward to the future and hope and have joy that you will restore all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.
And so now, family and friends, each one present here, may the love of God, who's the author and perfecter of our often fragile yet hopeful faith, the grace of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is our comfort and sustaining power, be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.
I invite the mortuary director to please come and give conclusion to our service this afternoon. Thank you.